Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. Once again, welcome you in our program, Dua. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, today we'll be talking about means through which du'as are accepted, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. We'll also talk about a blessed personality from pious predecessors, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. And furthermore, we'll also learn one masnoon du'a as well as insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Before we proceed towards our topic and segments, let's make few good intentions. Because my Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir of Ahl al-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any good deed or we do any permissible task. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention, I will present this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're watching, you can make this intention, you will watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask your family members, kids, children, everyone, insha'Allah, they can sit in front of their Madani channel's TV screen and watch this program from start till end. Insha'Allah, you will learn a lot. We've got our brother, Muballigh Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Attari, who joins me in this program. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Wasim Abbas, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah, marhaba, welcome once again. Thank you very much for joining in this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah and blessings.
Ameen.
Wasim Abbas, alhamdulillah, in this series of programs, we have been talking about dua, the essence of worship. We have covered etiquettes, manners, and so many other various linked topics with regards to this very vast topic of dua. Those maqamat, places where duas are accepted, those times where duas are accepted, and so much more to cover. But today, in specific, inshallah, we will be talking about means. What are the means through which, inshallah, duas are accepted, or by those means, when person makes dua, adopting those means, alhamdulillah, du'as are accepted. And specifically, wasila, right? Making wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll talk about today in this very program. And the permissibility of wasila, you can also say. And we'll talk about from Quran and Hadith also, and how important it is when it comes to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can present our plea and dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through wasila and through virtuous means. If you start with any verse of the Holy Quran, or you would like to start with any hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, where you would like to mention the importance or the permissibility of making wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhanallah, is one way in terms of making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the etiquettes, the manners that we've been instructed in our hadith, when we look in them, wasila, seeking an intermediary in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very, very important and something which has also been emphasized. This is also one of the etiquettes of dua, that whatever pious deeds one has committed during his lifetime,
right,
he should present them as wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making dua, as this is a means for the mercy of Allah Almighty to be downpoured upon him, to be showered upon him. So as this is an etiquette as well, and we also find in various hadith, in various verses of the Quran, where we've been instructed and encouraged to seek wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, the pious deeds that he's committed throughout his life, which were solely for the sake of Allah Almighty, he should present those pious deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wasila when he seeks a dua, when he asks for something. And in Sahih Bukhari, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, from him it's been narrated that he says that we heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in the past nations there were three people, and those three people, they were going somewhere, and as they were going somewhere, they reached a cave. And all three of them thought, let's spend our night over here.
And this is mentioned in Bukhari.
This is mentioned in Bukhari. And now, as they thought, let's spend our night over here, they entered the cave. And as they entered the cave, a big rock from the top of the cliff, top of the mountain, fell down and it covered the opening of the cave. It blocked the opening of the cave, and all three of them, they were stuck inside. Now, all three of them, they said to each other that now, there's no way out.
Right.
We have no way to escape. We have no way to go out. Besides that, we present those pious deeds that we've performed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua by their wasila.
SubhanAllah.
So the first person, now he starts making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about the pious deed that he had performed. So he says that, O Allah, my parents, they were very old. They were very elderly.
Okay.
And I used to graze goats in the jungle. And whenever I would bring those goats back home, I would milk them and present that milk to my father, my mother, my parents. First, I would present that milk to my parents. Even I wouldn't give it to my children, my household, my slaves, no one. I would make sure that I give it to my parents first, and then
I would
anyone
feed my family
else. So he says that one day, I went quite far away from the jungle. And by the time I came back, my parents had gone asleep. Now, I brought the milk in the court of my parents, but they had gone asleep. And my children, they were crying out of hunger, but I did not feel it appropriate to feed my children before my parents.
Allah.
I stood by my sleeping parents all night long, waited for them to wake up. So when they woke up, then I presented that milk to them. I didn't feed anyone else before my parents. So, O Allah, if this action of mine was for your sake, was for your pleasure, then remove this
calamity.
Remove this calamity, remove this rock from the opening of the cave. Now, as he made this dua, as he presented this action of his as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that rock slightly moved. But it didn't move enough
extent,
that they could go out. Now, the second person, he starts presenting his plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said in the court of Allah Almighty that, Ya Allah, there was a cousin of mine whom I loved.
Okay.
And I wanted to commit indecency with her.
Yeah.
And once what happened was that they fell prey to starvation, they fell prey to famine, they didn't have anything to consume. So she came to me and asked me for some help. So I gave her 120 ashrafis, gold coins, on the condition that she would meet me in seclusion to commit indecency, to which she agreed. And now when that time came, when we were meeting in seclusion and I had control over her, right at that time, she told me to fear Allah Almighty.
Allah.
So as she said this to me, O Allah, I let her go. As he presented this plea in the court of Allah Almighty, the rock slightly moved a bit more, but again it wasn't enough for them to go out. Now the third person, he presented his plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he says that, O Allah Almighty, I had employed a few people for labor work.
Okay.
And I had also, after they finished their work, I gave them their wages. But one of them, he left before I could pay him his wages. He left. So everyone had been paid off. Only one person was left, but he had left now. Now, with that amount, which was due for him to be paid, with that amount, I invested it further.
Okay.
And I earned a lot of profit.
Reinvested, yeah.
Very, very big profit. I earned from that very investment, from the share of his wages.
Right.
Now, after some time, that person came back. And he said to me that, O servant of Allah, give me my wages.
Allahu Akbar.
And he says that at that time I said to him that all this what you see, all the cattle, all the camels, all the cows, all the goats, all the slaves, this is all yours.
Subhanallah.
This is from the money that was due to you. This is through that investment. This is all yours. So take all of this with you.
Subhanallah.
And that person, he was shocked. So, O Allah, I gave all that to him.
And if that was for your pleasure.
For your pleasure, if that was for your sake, then O Allah, remove this rock from the opening of the cave. And then once this plea was also presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that rock was removed completely and all three of them, they came out of the cave.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So okay. This is a beautiful hadith, Rizwan Bhai, in Bukhari, which shows us that how important it is for us to perform pious deeds. Number one, perform pious deeds for our du'as to be accepted, and then present these deeds as a wasila, as an intermediary in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a medium in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our du'as to be accepted.
Subhanallah.
If we don't have any pious deeds, then what exactly are we going to present?
Sure.
So we come to know that this is also a tool for us to understand that for the acceptance of our du'as, performing pious deeds is very important.
Yeah.
Without that, where do we stand when it comes to the acceptance of du'as? And then presenting those pious deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a medium for the acceptance of our du'as.
And it is proven from Bukhari Sharif. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, there are so many beautiful lessons we can learn from this very account mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. MashaAllah, Mubaligh of Dawood Islami has mentioned, we can learn from this account that, subhanAllah, it is not only that we present our, it is permissible that we should present our good deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a means, as a wasila. The way those subhanAllah individuals, when they had that calamity, they presented. Quran also says we should seek help through salah and sabr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah and sabr, they are both forms of worship, and they are a kind of good deeds what we perform, and we should seek help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these acts of good deeds through which we have been instructed to seek help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through these good deeds, the way those individuals presented their pleas in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using their good deeds as a wasila. Ulama, scholars of Islam, they have said, if you can present your pious deeds as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're making dua, a plea, then for sure you can present wasila of pious people who perform the acts of worship.
Subhanallah.
Right?
Subhanallah.
This is the difference. A very beautiful difference is this, that when you are presenting good actions as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what about those people who are performing those good actions? Those awliya Allah, through those actions, those they perform, and they get closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba ikram, Ahl Bayt, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam himself, Allahu Akbar, what would be their maqam when we present their wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And through their wasila when we make dua.
Subhanallah.
When we can present our pious deeds as a wasila, why can we not present these pious personalities as a wasila who are performing these actions?
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And this has been proven from the practices of Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridman.
Definitely.
And again, the verse of the Quran, seek wasila in his towards him in his court. And over here, ulama, they've beautifully clarified the entire discussion which you have made, that in this verse, the word wasila, this refers to every such action through which a person can attain Allah's proximity. Every such action through which a person can attain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is fara'id, whether nawafil, whatever form of worship we're talking about over here, that can be presented as wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, not only the actions which bring about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also haram actions, leaving them, this very action can also be presented as a wasila in the court of Allah Almighty. And even being kind to your parents, being kind to your relatives, looking after your household, performing all these actions which come within the definition of worship, all these we can present as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further, when we look into this topic, we come to know that Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan, they would also practice wasila. They would also seek wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their needs, as they were the ones who understood deen better than us.
Sure.
As a beautiful hadith is before me, Rizwan Bhai, which has been stated again in Sahih Bukhari, where Sidra Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that when people would fall prey to famine, to drought, then Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he would supplicate for rain with the wasila of Sayyidina Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And what would he say? That, O Allah, we used to hold the wasila of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your court, and you used to send down rain upon us. And now we seek the wasila of the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in your court. So shower rain upon us. And he says, then people, they would be drenched in rain. There would be so much rain. So in Bukhari Sharif, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to say this in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to ask for wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, wasila of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then of his uncle.
Subhanallah.
So these kind of narrations are there to guide us to understand that how important it is for us to seek wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the likes of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, may millions and millions and millions of mercies and blessings be upon him, who showed us the right way, that how you can have your desires fulfilled, it is by presenting wasila of the pious people in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will bring about the acceptability, the acceptance of your du'as that we ask for in the court of Allah Almighty.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Wasim Abbas bhai, mashallah, we will continue this discussion. Now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is Masnoon Dua. We learned one dua today. Let's find out which one is that. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni astajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, today inshallah azza wa jal, we will learn dua to be recited after drinking milk. And dua is, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna minh. Translation, O Allah Azza wa Jal, grant blessings in it for us, and grant us more than this. Subhanallah. So whenever you drink milk, you should recite this dua. And normally you can also make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah, for blessing in your sustenance, in your risk, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you, whatever blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. I think this meaning of this dua are very generic, and you can make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah and blessing in your sustenance, in your blessings inshallah. And this beautiful dua is mentioned after drinking milk, but meaning are generic, so you can make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for other blessings and paying shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about those means, and what are those means, and how can we make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using such means. So one of the means we understood from today's discussion was that we can present our pious deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if we performed any acts for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we did not commit any sin just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can also present it as a wasila when we are making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, we also learned that we can not only present our pious actions as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but pious personalities can also be presented as a means, as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are making dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are asking in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then pious personalities can also be presented as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while making dua. Wasim Abbas bhai, further, if we talk about that very beautiful hadith narration of Bukhari Sharif, which you mentioned, there were three beautiful acts, right? Three different people performed, or someone did not perform. One of them was serving parents, right? So this is something I think one message should go to the views of Madani Channel. What a great act it is to serve your parents. He used to prioritize his parents, even over his family. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. And he would not serve milk to his own family, but he would serve it to parents. This is something we are in need in this today's day and age. What would you say onto this?
Subhanallah. Definitely it is one way. Something that has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as parents are your Jannah or your Jahannam, your hell. So when we look into this deeper, then we find out that who is the neighbor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in Jannah?
Subhanallah.
Just an ordinary butcher. And what was his action? Just serving his parents.
Subhanallah.
Just serving his parents. And what does he get? Neighborhood of the Prophet of the time Allah. In Jannah. Why? Because his parents used to make this dua for him. Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a shining star of the sky of the sainthood. How did he attain wilaya? How did he attain sainthood?
Serving parents.
Serving his parents, and his mother made dua for him. And then there's so many other accounts that we can carry on and on and on, and a hadith which mentioned the importance and how mandatory it is for us to serve our parents.
So we can say there are so many forms of worship. Maybe certain acts of good deeds may not take you more closer in the court
Indeed.
Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than serving your parents, following the commandment
and,
of Allah.
At the same time, we also need to understand that, let's say, we do perform other pious deeds, but if we don't serve our parents, then our other pious deeds wouldn't hold the same value as if we would have, as if we also served our parents, then what the value of those actions would be. So serving your parents is of the utmost responsibilities that is upon us, and we cannot be free of it.
True. MashaAllah. Another important Madani pearl we learned from that very account of Hadith of Bukhari Sharif, mentioned by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, that a person who was in control over a woman, right, and he could commit a sin, but he did not.
Ji.
Just because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure was in front of him, or he had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that woman told him, reminded him the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he left. At that moment, he was in full control of her.
Indeed.
And there was no other person who could stop him. He did not commit that sin for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he presented this very action in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, he was helped by Allah. And this is also something we learn. We should have that understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us at all times. And we need to develop that fear. Doesn't matter if our parents are watching us or not. My mother, my father, my friends, my colleagues, they're watching me or not, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. So whenever we are in control of committing any sin, this is something to learn from this very account. We should remember Allah is watching, and we need to have that fear. And if we leave that sin just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, the results we saw. And the final message, Wasim Abbas Bhai, we learned from that. Nowadays, people, they take money.
Indeed.
Right? Maybe some people, they take loan and they don't return back. Businessmen, they hire people and they say, okay, you should come to our shop, work for 2-3 days, we'll see your work, maybe we'll give you a job. And I have been told that there are many people, they worked for weeks and weeks and weeks, just they were trying them on trial basis. They were not paid a single penny, astaghfirullah. What answer would we have on the Day of Judgment if we took work, right, from somebody and then we did not pay? Or if we took loan from someone and we did not repay that loan? Oh, astaghfirullah. Likewise, we heard, subhanallah, how beautifully he gave that,
subhanallah,
whatever was owed. Not only that, subhanallah, whatever he got, he paid. So, respected viewers of Madan Channel, we learn from this very account that these good deeds we need to also adopt. And once we perform good deeds, then we can present as a wasila when making dua, the essence of worship, and inshallah, our duas will be accepted. So very important bit is, as Muballigh of Dawah Islami mentioned, first is to perform those good deeds. First is to remain far from those haram acts which have been forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah, you can present them as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
What else you would like to share?
Subhanallah. Again, carrying on the same subject of wasila, we find out that presenting our pious deeds as a wasila, then we spoke about presenting the pious personalities as a wasila. But then as we look deeper into this topic, we also come to know that those things which are associated to the pious people, standing by them, being close to them, are also those places, or even the wasila of those things are also accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's a hadith before me, where Sayyidina Aws bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he is stating this, that once the people of Medina, they suffered a drought, a famine, and what they did was they went to the mother of believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they complained about the drought, the famine, to her. And what did she say? She said that, draw your attentions towards the blessed grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and make an opening over the grave towards the sky, such that there's no gap, there's nothing between the grave and the sky. So this is what Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she instructed people to do. They make an opening on the roof towards the over the grave, and there shouldn't be anything covering between the sky and the grave. And he radiallahu ta'ala says that we did so, and then so much rain showered upon us, fell upon us, that greenery grew.
Subhanallah.
And the camels, even they became healthy.
Subhanallah.
And then he carries on to say that even that that very year was also named as Amul Fatq, meaning, which was referring to the rain. So even from this hadith, we find out that Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she instructed them to make an opening towards on the roof above the blessed grave, so that there's nothing in between the sky and the grave. And just by the virtue of this, the rain descended.
Subhanallah.
So these are the blessings of those sacred things which are associated to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They're associated to the righteous people. So this again we should present as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times we come across the blessed hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Many times we come across sacred clothing of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan, so and so forth. So whenever these sacred relics are there, sacred places are there which are associated to the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should ensure that we make dua over there. And when we make dua, we present their wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have this firm belief that those places are being showered with mercy day and night. So our du'as will be accepted over there, and we should present those places, those sacred relics, also as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we are learning about du'a, we are learning about means, we are learning about wasila, and what means we can use when we are making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's the time to conclude segment, today's message. Let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
It is said that more than 90% of the disputes in the world, more than 90% are because of miscommunication. What did he say and what did you listen? And then indirectly, someone said this. Oh, did he say like this? At least confirm first whether he said like this or not. You just believe it. I've got a personal experience. Oh brother, he said it. Why would he say wrong? A Muslim is saying. Oh dear, a Muslim is saying about a Muslim, isn't it? Will you slander someone by just hearing about him? Does he have witnesses? As per Islamic law, does he have any proof? At least inquire about. If someone comes and says somebody has done this, you have got tongue in your mouth, you cannot ask few questions. That have you got any evidence as required by Islamic law? Let's talk other side of the picture. Always keep your character clean. One has to be very careful in this regard. Some people by themselves allow others to doubt about them. And the person who looks at those people, he assumes that these people are not on the right path. We should avoid those acts which could cause others to raise fingers at us. Yes. Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقُوا مَوَادِيَ الْطُهْمَةِ. Refrain from such places which cause allegations. Fear from slandering. We should fear from slandering. We shouldn't live a careless life. Oh, we'll see whatever will happen. We are not living in animals, we are living in human beings. If any doubts are raised about your personality, you should clear it. We shouldn't allow others to have ill opinion about us. And for example, if somebody asks you any question, then rather than going here and there, you should answer clearly and straightforward. Especially there are some personalities, celebrities, those they are known by the people, and people can raise questions about them because they are normally seen by the people. So more questions are asked. Those personalities should clear themselves. Do not allow doubts within your personality and character. Otherwise, their own personality will damage. Where we have to avoid slandering others, at the same time, we have to save others to slander us. We must not slander, but also avoid those acts which cause others to slander.
Beautiful message we learned from Nigrani Shura about suspicions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and about accusations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us that we make false accusations about others. Ameen bijahin Nabi Ameen, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Before going to the segment, we were talking about wasila, we're talking about means we can use to present our plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while making dua. Any last message would like to share with the viewers of Qadr Channel before we proceed towards our second segment?
Subhanallah, wasila, when we talk about wasila is one way, this is a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, granted this ummah for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, wasila is coming in between. If it wasn't for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, nothing would have been created. Everything is for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Every blessing that we have, even the most precious blessing, ni'mah of iman, is also through the wasila of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Had Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam not been there, nothing would have existed. So value this ni'mah, this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this treasure of wasila. Inshallah azza wa jal, you'll be successful in this world and in the hereafter.
MashaAllah. Respected viewers, now it's time to conclude our segment, and that is today's personality. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
So we must be today, inshallah, we'll be talking about great personality in the history of Islam, subhanallah. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna, Ummi Salma, radiyallahu ta'ala, anha. First of all, I would like to request you, if you could start with her introduction, inshallah, brief introduction, and then we take it further.
Subhanallah, Sayyidatuna, Ummi Salma, radiyallahu ta'ala, anha, the mother of believers. Her excellence, her honor, which she is blessed with, is immense.
Subhanallah.
It is immense. And this should be enough for our understanding that she was blessed with the title of being Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of believers. The Prophet ﷺ honored her by marrying her. So now she becomes superior to the other women, and she is the mother of believers.
She's our mother.
She's our mother, alhamdulillah. When we talk about Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, you stated that her name was Hind. And her patronymic was Umm Salama, okay, radiallahu anha. And she became more famous with this title of Umm Salama. And her father's name is either Huzaifa or Suhail, but ulama they mentioned. And his patronymic was Abu Umayya. And her mother's name was Atika. Now her lineage from the side of her father is Abu Umayya bin Mughira bin Abdullah bin Umar bin Makhzum bin Yaqidah bin Murrah bin Ka'b bin Luwai. And from her mother is Atika binti Amir bin Rabi'ah bin Malik bin Khuzaimah bin Alqama bin Firas bin Ghan bin Malik bin Kanana. Now, the lineage of Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha meets with that of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Hazrat Sayyidina Murrah bin Ka'b radiyallahu anha. And Sayyidina Murrah bin Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he is the seventh grandfather, great-grandfather of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the lineages of Umm Salama radiallahu anha and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they meet at Murrah bin Ka'b radiallahu anha. So they're coming from the same family tree. Now, when we talk about Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, even her family background was very rich. Her family was also known with dignity and honor. And his father, he was amongst those three people who were given the title of Zadur Raqib, meaning the provision of travelers. Whenever any traveler would travel with them, they wouldn't carry any provisions. They would look after their provisions. So they were known for their generosity. And she radiallahu ta'ala anha, she belonged to Banu Makhzum, a branch of the most famous tribe of Arab, Quraysh. So even from her family background, that was very, very dignified, very, very honored and very generous background she had. Her father, he was known for his generosity. Now, when we further talk about Sayyidatana Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rizwan bhai, she's amongst those companions who's also included amongst As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, meaning those companions who embraced Islam in the early age of Islam, in the early days of Islam. And accepting Islam at that time wasn't easy. There were all sorts of tortures, tyrannies, oppressions that were being inflicted upon the Muslims openly. Whoever would embrace Islam, they would be subject to severe tortures and brutal tyrannies. And accepting Islam at that time, that was very difficult. So Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's amongst As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon Sahaba, who embraced Islam at the very early age of Islam.
They possess additional excellence.
Indeed. And then furthermore, she's also amongst those Sahaba who first migrated to Abyssinia and then to Medina as well. So she's many Sahaba, they're only those who migrated to Medina only, not to Abyssinia. Very few Sahaba are amongst those Sahaba who migrated to both places, to Abyssinia as well as Medina. So she radiallahu ta'ala anha is amongst those Sahaba. And then she radiallahu ta'ala anha, along with many other family members of her, they accepted Islam. So this is also one of her excellences, that she wasn't alone, but alhamdulillah, many other family members of her also accepted Islam. And Saifullah, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she is his cousin as well. So this is also another familiar relationship that we can mention to the viewers of Madani channel. Now when we talk about her further excellences, amongst many other virtues, one of most distinctive virtue that we can talk about is her intelligence, her intellect, and her wisdom that she possessed. Now, she radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her an embodiment of intellectuality, of wisdom. And this glimpse you can see from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when there was a situation where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they commanded the Sahaba alayhi ridwan to open the ihram and shave their heads. But they couldn't understand the command of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There was this kind of situation that was created at that moment of time. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned this situation to Sayyidatana Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Sayyidatana Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha was with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at this very moment of time. And it was Sayyidatana Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha who suggested the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that you go in front of them, open your ihram and shave your head and they will follow you. And exactly this happened. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam accepted her suggestion. He went and he performed these actions, and then all the Sahaba, they followed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this great wisdom was gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to her. And to the extent it is stated that ulama, they state that we don't know of any other woman besides Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha whose suggestion was always correct.
Subhanallah.
It was heard, it was always correct. This is her excellence, this is her dignity. And now when we're talking about her intellect, her wisdom, another, you can say, branch of her wisdom and intellect was her expertise. Was her expertise in the field of fiqh, in the field of Islamic rulings, rulings of jurisprudence. And because of this, many Sahaba, they also respected her to the maximum. Sahaba alayhim ridwan, they would also hold her very elite, and they would come and seek shara'i guidance from Sayyidatana Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she was amongst fuqaha sahabiyat, those sahabiyat who were expert in the field of fiqh, in the field of shara'i rulings. Now, even amongst Azwaj Mutahharat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the blessed wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidatana Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she held an acclaimed rank, a very high rank. And it is stated that once Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Sayyidatana Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha that, oh dear auntie, she was auntie of Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he says that which blessed wife was most beloved to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidatana Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that, I don't know much about this, but Zainab bint Jahash and Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, they possessed a unique rank in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha is mentioning that she possessed a unique rank in the court of Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we come to know that Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she embraced Islam in the very early days of Islam, and then her family background is also known to be very generous, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also gave her a lot of respect and held her very, very dear. And her intellect, it was gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her suggestions were accepted, and she had a very strong grip in the field of fiqh as well. And the Sahaba would look up to her for shari'i guidance. This were her excellence. And then we're talking about Wasila. And look at the beautiful example of Wasila in her life, that she radiallahu ta'ala anha would keep the blessed hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a sacred relic, as a tabarruk. And whenever any ill person would come, she would bathe the blessed hair and make that ill person drink that water, and he will be cured. And Sahaba alayhi muridwan, they would come visit Sayyidatuna Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha for this very purpose. This was their belief, this was their aqeedah, this is what they believed in. And this was Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, who had the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. How beautifully, again, from the life of Sahaba alayhi muridwan, the aqeedah, the concept of wasila gets clarified. So again, Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would hold the blessed hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And now, when we talk about the apparent demise of Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, it is stated that after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left this world physically, she radiallahu ta'ala anha was the last blessed wife who left this world after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's demise. And it is stated that she had a very long lifespan, and she lived all the way up to the martyrdom of Sayyidu Shuhada Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. There are different narrations in relation to what year did she pass away. And there's one narration that says 59 Hijri, one says 62 Hijri. There are different narrations. But Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is the one who led her funeral salah, and she was laid to rest in Jannatul Baqi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower countless mercies and blessings upon this mother of ours, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all without accountability for her sake.
Amen, amen, amen. MashaAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we heard about a very brief introduction and a few Madani pearls from the seerah of Sayyidatuna Umm Salma, Umm al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Very shortly, what the lessons I derived from the best seerah of Sayyidatuna Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha is her intelligence, her knowledge, her connection with Quran and Hadith, sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if you would like to know or learn about fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, so for that you need to have a deep knowledge. You need to know Quran and Hadith in depth. Then only you can deduce Islamic rulings, masail, from Quran and Hadith. Without having that connection, without having that knowledge, without having a deep understanding of Quran and Hadith, you cannot do that. So this is a beautiful lesson for those sisters, mashallah, watching right now, that if we are believers, we are true devotees of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what sort of connection should we have with Quran? What sort of connection should we have with the sayings of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? And subhanAllah, likes of Sayyidatuna Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, her seerah tells us that we, being the devotees of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we should also have that sort of connection, understanding, depth, knowledge of Quran and Hadith, and then only we can implement that in our life. And then again, another important element we learn from this seerah of Sayyidatuna Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha is Ishqi Rasul, the love for Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the love for Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is reflected that she, subhanAllah, preserved the blessed hair of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then she would not only keep it as a sacred relic, but if somebody would come, she would give subhanAllah, a bath to that beautiful, blessed hair of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? And why was that bath? Because that water would take barakah and blessing from that.
The water will gain purification.
Purification. Normally we take bath so that we get purified. But Allahu Akbar, that bathing, that bath is to, that water becomes blessed by touching to the blessed hair of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And yes, this was the aqeedah, that was the belief of Sayyidatuna Umm Salma, that this water will get blessings from the blessed hair of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and this water will bless the person
Subhanallah.
Whomsoever would use it.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And that's how people used to come collected water, blessed water from Sayyidatuna Salma radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and they would use that and they would get cured and they would get barakah and blessings. This is something we learn from the seerah of these pious predecessors, and this is one of the reasons we talk about them. This is one of the reasons we bring these personalities, alhamdulillah, as a topic in our discussion, and we can talk about them. We can learn about their life, we can learn about their legacy, and something we can take from their seerah and implement in our life. I hope, inshallah, you must have learned a lot from today's episode of this program and through various segments, and you will try to implement in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq and ability that I too implement whatever I say. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil. Ameen. Now it's the time to include final segment in our program, and that is dua. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
ادعوني استجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, let's make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make dua, raise your hands straight towards sky. When you make dua, try to lower your gaze. Close your eyes, try to remember the sins we have performed, and try to shed some tears. And let's present our good deeds. Try to remember those good deeds you have performed and present them in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make wasila of Rasulullah salatu salam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beloved of Allah. Let's make dua. Let's seek forgiveness. Let's ask from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this firm belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens and accepts our du'as. This is the essence of worship. Dua is a weapon of believer. Let's use that weapon. Let's go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's ask with some tears. We never know from various parts of the world. Subhanallah, people are watching right now. Many will be raising their hands. And because of anyone, if our dua is also accepted, what else do we need? If we are also forgiven, what else we need? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our duas. Let's all make dua together. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen.
Amen.
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. يا الله يا كريم يا رحمن يا رحيم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك.
آمين.
اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا أسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مالك المولى. Once again we raised our sinful filthy hands in your pure park court. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Malikumula. Many hands are raised right now from across the globe. Little hands of children may be raised too. Ya Rahman, Ya Malikumula. Ya Allah, elderly will also be raising their hands. Ya Allah, Ya Malikum Ula, young would also be raising heads. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, you know you are Alimum Bidhat Sudur. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, you are our Lord, you are our Rabb. You even know what is in our hearts, what is in our minds, and you know each and every individual from across the globe raising hands. And you also know who is more closer in your court, Ya Rahman, Ya Malikum Ula. For his or her sake, forgive us all, Ameen. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, remove all our sins from our book of deeds. Ameen. Rather, turn them into good deeds. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, we have committed many sins. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, you know our state. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, don't look at our sins. Rather, Ya Rahman, your mercy. Ya Allah, for the sake of your Rahman, for the sake of your mercy, Ya Rahman, forgive us. Ameen. Forgive our parents. Ameen. Forgive our family members. Forgive the whole Ummah of Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, those that are worried, remove their worries. Ameen. Ya Allah, those that are ill, give them shifa. Ameen. Ya Rahman, those that are struggling in hospitals with their life. Ya Allah, give them shifa. Ya Rahman, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. One of our friends, he's in hospital. Ya Allah, give him shifa too.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, those that are watching, if their loved ones, whoever is ill, Ya Allah, give them shifa too.
Ameen.
Anyone who is in problem, in calamity, in issues, Ya Allah, who is struggling, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, remove their worries, remove their problems, remove their issues, Ya Rahman. Shower your mercy upon all of us.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, those that are under debt, help them to clear their debts. Ameen. Ya Allah, those they are in need of sustenance, halal sustenance, grant them from your treasures. Ya Ameen. Allah, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, any plea, any dua, any hajat which is jais, lawful, those they are raising their hands and asking from your court, with the wasila of Rasul alayhi salatu wassalam, accept all our jais, hajat, our duas, our pleas. یہ کیوں کہوں کہ مجھ کو یہ عطا ہو وہ عطا ہو وہ دو کہ ہمیشہ میرے گھر بھر کا بھلا ہو مٹی نہ ہو برباد پسے مرگ الہی جب خاک اڑے میری مدینے کی ہوا ہو یا الہی ہر جگہ تیری عطا کا ساتھ ہو جب پڑے مشکل شہے مشکل کشا کا ساتھ ہو یا الہی رنگ لائے جب میری بے باقیاں ان کی نیچی نیچی نظروں کی حیا کا ساتھ ہو
آمین اللہم
ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی یا ایہا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما صلی اللہ علی النبی الامی وآلہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلاة و سلام علیکہ یا سیدی یا رسول اللہ یا اللہ جب دم واپسی ہو سامنے ہو روزہ اے رسول اللہ آنکھوں میں ہو جلوہ اے رسول اللہ لب پہ ہو لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جزاک اللہ خیر تھینک یو سو مچ دیٹس آل فار ٹوڈے انشاءاللہ ویل بی بیک نیکسٹ ویک سیم ٹائم سیم چینل کیپ واچنگ مدنی چینل السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ
ادعوني أستجب لكم
supplicate to me I will accept it